Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Steven Deaton. How are you, Steven?
Hey, man. Good. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. I got a little sinus cold and whatnot, so if you hear me coughing, hacking, all that, just keep the podcast rolling, Steven.
Okay? Yeah, I got you. We'll keep rolling. We'll stay on track here.
I'm just going to lean on you, man. Let's just we talked earlier today, guys, and I think what we're going to do is kind of try to keep this podcast episode short, sweet, to the point. We're going to follow the specific outline of recapping the wild card weekend, talking about some divisional matchups this weekend, and then also recapping our underdog segment as well. And then we'll finish out the episode with Steven's final fantasy advice. So, Steven, man, let's look no further. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's recap that playoff weekend last weekend.
Let's do it, man. Let's recap this playoff weekend. You had the Seahawks at the San Francisco 49ers this week, man. And San Francisco just looks amazing. I mean, I think Purdy has looked really good. He made some really good plays with his legs, extended some plays. The extension of a play, touchdown pass to Elijah Mitchell, was phenomenal. He also extended a play and targeted Ayuk in the end zone and made a beautiful pass, and Ayuk dropped it. But man, he looks really good. We all know that I'm not a Trey Lance lover, but I'm worried that Trey Lance is, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, to recap this game, my boy Debo Samuel, 6 catches on 9 targets, 133 yards and a touchdown. To go with that, 3 carries on the ground for 32 more yards. Just absolutely destroyed that Seahawk defense. Ayuk, who we talked about last week, being better than Debo, 3 catches on 5 targets, 73 yards. No carries. I think we see.
You don't ever have carries, Steve.
I think we all see who the alpha receiver in San Francisco is and will be moving forward for the immediate future. But anyway, San Francisco rolls 41-23. Any thoughts, BJ?
Well, it's about time Debo Samuel did something, ain't it, Steven? No, I'm just joking, man. You can't argue that Debo has talent, dude, honestly. And so I watched the play. I remember, Steven, you texted me. I didn't watch a single bit of that game, man. And I was helping a buddy move. And you texted me, and you're like, hey, Debo's still the alpha. He still got it. Stop with that IU crap and all this. And, man, I watched the play where Debo broke it off and had like a 60-yard reception for a touchdown. And, man, shout out to Brock Purdy on that 5-yard checkdown, man. You did great. But Debo did what he does, and when he gets the ball in his hand, he turns into a fantastic skill set runner, an elite runner with the ball. And, man, I absolutely agree with you. I think Debo, he is a fantastic wide receiver. And just like I said last week, Steve, I'm still holding true to this. Ayuk could pass him in Dynasty rankings. But we'll see how the playoffs play out first, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You just don't hold your breath on that Ayuk talk. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Chargers this week, man. This game was a laugher. Chargers were up 27-0. Everything was looking good for the Chargers. I know you saw this going around Twitter and whatnot. Some guy placed a $1.4 million bet on the Chargers to win the game when they got up 27-0 for a turnaround of $11,000. So $1.4 million for a turnaround of $11,000 for the Chargers to win the game. He lost $1.4 million on that bet.
Heartbreaker.
Because Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence have come back from 27-0 to win that game 31-30. BJ, tell me about my boy Trevor Lawrence.
First off, I turned that game off right after halftime, Steven. Man, I went to sleep. I woke up, got on Twitter around 6 a.m. the next day, and the first tweet I see is, "Stop hating on my boy Trevor." And I'm like, wait, what just happened? And I was dumbfounded that Trevor Lawrence led that team back, man. I watched the highlights to it, and he kicked it on in the second half. Actually watched a little bit of Doug Peterson's like post game speech in the locker room and stuff. And Steven, just like we said, man, that team is coming together and they're on a hot streak right now. And Trevor Lawrence, man, he's one of the players that has made the biggest jump in my dynasty rankings at the quarterback position. And to be honest with you, man, he's climbing up there pretty high, Steven.
Yeah, man, he's getting up there. He's really, really playing well. I'm a fan. I'm a fan. We talked about it in the podcast before. We thought the Chargers were obviously favored, or you know, kind of favored at home. But man, I still thought Jacksonville going in was playing better. And for a half, man, it looked like we were fools. And then all of a sudden, something clicked, and that Trevor Lawrence magic came back. And they won 31-30. BJ, did you see the stat on Trevor Lawrence has never lost a game on a Saturday from high school all the way to his current time frame?
It's crazy, man. Like,
Has
yes, that's
never
unheard of.
lost a game on a Saturday from his high school career all the way to his current playing days right now in the NFL. Never lost a game on a Saturday.
Man, do they play this Saturday?
I don't know if they play Saturday or not. I have to look. So,
hang on, I'm looking at it right now. They do, Steven. Saturday, January the 21st against the Chiefs. Are we calling an upset right here?
Woo! I don't know. We'll see. Got to have something in his favor. Man, it'll be a good game. We'll talk about that in a minute. But moving on here, Miami Dolphins were at the Buffalo Bills. Man, we know the Dolphins were without Tua. They were without Teddy Bridgewater. So that left Skylar Thompson to start in his stead. And, man, I'll just be honest with you. These playoff games are just – they're wacky. These teams, they know that this could be – this is it, you know, win or go home. And, man, the Bills let Miami hang around. They let them hang around. Yep. Miami actually played pretty good. But, man, in the end, the Bills were just a little too much for Miami and Skylar Thompson. They got away with a win 34-31.
Yeah, man, I think Buffalo let them hang around way too long, man.
They did.
That was a game that me and you talked about. We actually skipped over the projection of it last week because we both just said Bills move on. Let me ask you this, Steven. There's been a lot of talk. I saw today where Gesicki actually came out and wrote a letter, like a little tweet to Miami, and was just like, look, whatever happens in the offseason, it happens. If I'm gone, I'm gone. Thank you to the fans, blah, 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 blah. My question for you is this, Steven. Do you think he stays in Miami or do you think he goes somewhere else?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't have a great year in Miami. He wasn't Tua's favorite target, so I don't know. We'll see. Is he a free agent?
He is. I think it was franchise tag this past year.
And he'll have a market. He'll have a market. So we'll see. We'll see. Moving on, New York Giants and the Minnesota Vikings. Man, to be honest with you, this might have been the best game of the weekend, just as far as some entertainment value in a close game late. Man, I'll be honest with you, Daniel Jones is a monster. Yeah. I mean, his legs alone in that first half, I think he had 70 plus rushing yards in that first half. And in the second half, when they kind of were keying in on his rushing, man, he was making passes. He was throwing the rock. And, man, the Giants got out of there in Minnesota with a win, 31-24 on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah, and this is a game that me and you both said. We actually both picked the Vikings in this game. But one thing that we said was do not be surprised if the Giants keep it close. And, my gosh, did they. The team, man, shout out to Brian Daboll, the head coach there, the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills last year. He came on to be the head coach for the New York Giants. Man, that dude should honestly be in the running with Doug Peterson as the best coach this year just because of both of those organizations with turning those teams around, making them going from the worst in their division to actual playoff runs between the Giants and the Jaguars right now. Dude, like they're – man, you got to think about the Giants are using – Daniel Jones and a wide receiving core of Isaiah Hodgkins, Darius Slayton, and Richie James. You know, like that's showing some talent there and showing of using some mediocre pieces and doing really good with it. So, man, I hope they just keep trucking along, honestly.
Yeah, man, they looked good, and I agree with you. Daboll's done a good job over there, and they've got a chance to. They've got a chance to truck along, and we'll talk about their matchup here in the divisional round coming up. Baltimore Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals. The Ravens, man, they choked this one away. Man, they were about to upset the Bengals. They were on the goal line in the fourth quarter, about to go up seven, And Huntley fumbled trying to reach over the goal line, and the Bengals defender picked it up, scooped it, and took it to the house. A 14-point swing in the fourth quarter in that moment, and that really sealed the deal for the Bengals. They went on to win 24-17, BJ. And, man, they just kind of played, again, they let a team hang around way too long who was playing with a backup quarterback whose offense has not been good this year, and they were lucky to sneak out of there with a win.
Well, they better get their crap together because the matchup that's coming up weekend is going to be a tough one. So,
yeah. What do we think about Lamar Jackson?
I think he's gone, bro. I think he's out of Baltimore.
I think we called this. I think I called this a couple months ago. You know, I think we talked about this, and I thought a couple months ago, even when he was still playing, I thought, man, this is it for him in Baltimore, because it just, the signs, the writing's on the wall, the signs are there. I saw an article this week that said that, you know, Lamar is really hurting himself by not having an agent, just because there's becoming bad blood and bad feelings between player and organization. And, you know, usually that if you have an agent, that's the buffer, right? The player can just say, look, that's my agent. You know, y'all got to deal with him. I really have nothing to do with that. You know, and they can have that buffer, and the bad guy becomes the agent, not really the player. In Lamar Jackson's case here, the player's becoming the bad guy because he's his own agent.
I get that. Now, I know where J.K. Dobbins came out post-game as well, and he's like, man, if Lamar would have played, we would have won that game in a heartbeat. And so even like your players that you're playing with every single weekend or were at one point, just with the fact of them noticing your absence, I do kind of agree it has to have a bad taste in their mouth and stuff. But at the end of the day, we know what kind of quarterback Lamar Jackson is, and he's a fantastic elite quarterback. And so I hope that he gets paid, and I hope that he goes to a team where he can actually compete and win some playoff matchups, man.
Yeah, I think he will, and I think he'll go somewhere where he can compete. And I'm thinking he will he'll get a deal. Somebody will pay him. They'll have to. I mean, he's too dynamic, too good, too explosive to not get paid by somebody. There'll be somebody wanting his services. It just won't be Baltimore. All right, moving on to our last wild card weekend matchup: the Dallas Cowboys versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And man, we talked last week about Brady, about he was going to turn into playoff Tom. He was 7-0 versus the Cowboys in his career. And then Dak happened. Dak Prescott. Dakota Rain Prescott. Man, what a performance. 25 for 33, throwing the ball, 303 yards, 5 total touchdowns. Let me tell you this, BJ. The days of pounding the ball in the run game with Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas are over. And if you are still yelling, run the ball, you're Dallas, you've got Ezekiel Elliott, that's how you win, defense and running the ball, you are a moron. This is Dak's team, and it's not close. Dallas rolls 31-14.
Man, that was a game to where I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was stunned by Dak's performance. Just watching it this year, you know, there was a lot of negativity around him with the interceptions and everything. We talked about that on a previous episode, Steven, about how a lot of those interceptions actually went through his receiver's hands. But, man, I will say this. Every read that I saw Dak make the other night on Monday night, every pass that he threw, every touchdown that he scored, the end around that he kept to himself, the bootleg or whatever it was, he looked fantastic, man. And you could tell he was passionate about it, that he probably heard the negativity, the criticism, and he took that game into his hands, man. And so I think if you're a dynasty manager and you've got Dak Prescott as your QB1, dude, after a performance like that, you're feeling pretty stoked right now. And so with it, man, I'm excited to see what he does continuing on. Once again, though, I always like to see Cowboys fans discouraged and disheartened, but they don't have a lot to be discouraged about after this past performance.
I just don't understand it. And where we live, BJ, here, we have a lot of Cowboys fans around our area here.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get on social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, man, the hate for Dak is unbelievable. The ignorance that people have for Dak is unbelievable. The fact that they blame him for every single loss, and I get it. He was terrible last week. I get it. People have bad games. I mean, look at what Tom Brady just had, probably one of the worst games of his career. And I know he's 72. I get it. But he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. Wouldn't you think that you know, the greatest of all time would be ready to go in a wild card weekend game. I mean, come on, it happens. Man, the fact that these people still sit around and blame Dak for every single thing that goes wrong when he is the sole reason that that team is where they are right now, in my opinion, is nuts. That him and the defense is playing really well, but man, they've still got to score. I mean, you know, they've got to score. You know this as well as I do. In most sports these days, the offense brings the money in, and they're going to allow the offense to perform. And you have to be able to score to win.
Yep.
So, man, I'm all in on Dak. I love it. I think you're right, man. If you've got Dak, if you've traded for Dak, if Dak's your QB1, whew, you ought to love it. You ought to see this and love it. All right, moving on. That's your recap for this past week. So your winners: San Francisco 49ers, Jaguars, Buffalo Bills, New York Giants, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Dallas Cowboys. Your Eagles and your Chiefs both had the bye in the wild card round. All right, moving on. So this week's matchups, man. First matchup here: Jacksonville Jaguars at the Kansas City Chiefs this week. BJ, what about this matchup? We just said Trevor Lawrence has never lost on a Saturday, and didn't you just tell me that this game is on a Saturday?
3:30 p.m., Steven.
What do you call? What's your call, BJ? Let's hear it.
I'm going the Chiefs. Oh man, I think pretty boy Trevor gets brought down to earth here, man. I think it is going to be a close game though. The line right now is actually KC -8.5, and so they're favored by 8.5 points here. Dude, I'll just be honest. Patrick Mahomes in the prime time in Arrowhead Stadium is going to be tough to stop. And so I know the Jacksonville offense has been killing it here lately. That defense actually looked really good in the second half against the Chargers. But, man, Mahomes has been playing on another level this year. And mm-hmm. He hasn't had the weapons he had last year with Tyreek. Kelce's still killing it. But, man, he is playing on an ungodly level. And so I think Kansas City's offense actually pulls it away in this game. I think they lean heavy on the arm of Patrick Mahomes. And I think it turns into a shootout. I do see Trevor Lawrence having a good game. We'll talk about one of the stat lines here shortly in the underdog section. But I think he passes for a couple of touchdowns, and I think they actually keep it close.
Yeah, man. You know, the line you mentioned is 8.5 right now, favoring the Chiefs, obviously. Man, I can't with good conscience take my boy Trevor Lawrence here.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we're eating some crow next week. We'll see. But, man,
I'd be okay with it.
You got Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead Stadium at home, a week's worth of rest. I think they'll be ready to go. I think at the end of the day, they'll be too much for the Jaguars to handle. But, man, the Jaguars as a whole, that team, you better look out the next couple of years. Better watch out, because they are improving and improving fast. BJ, you do know that Calvin Ridley is going to be there next year, right?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I got him on a couple of dynasty rosters right now, Steven.
So, you know, man, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that team over the next couple of years, just to watch them, to see them develop, to see them grow together as a team, especially those offensive pieces, Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence, Evan Engram, Calvin Ridley, you know, Zay Jones, Christian Kirk. I mean, they've got some pieces there, man. And you know, everybody in the offseason was making so much fun of them for paying Christian Kirk, for paying Zay Jones money, for paying Evan Engram money. But, man, look at them. Look at what they're doing. Look at where they're at. So, again, I'm excited for that team in the future. But, man, this week, and this week specifically, Kansas City. So,
yep, agreed.
All right, moving on. Next matchup, New York Football Giants versus the Philadelphia Eagles. BJ, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right here. I think this game has the potential to be really close.
Mm.
I know everybody is on the Eagles. They love Jalen Hurts. They love Devontae Smith. Everybody loves A.J. Brown. Everybody loves that offense and what Jalen Hurts can do with his legs. But, man, the Giants have proven and shown they're not just going to go away quietly. And I just think that it has the potential to be close. Now, BJ, I'm going Eagles here. The line is 7.5 favoring the Eagles. I think the Eagles offense will be too much for the Giants to keep up with. But I think the Giants can make it nasty. I think they can try to control the clock a little bit when they get the ball. I think they can muddy it up a little bit. Their defense is good enough to get a few stops on Jalen Hurts. And I think they can keep it close. Now, that being said, I won't be surprised if the Eagles run away with it. But I'm just saying that I think they can keep it close. But my pick here, Eagles over the Giants.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat with you, Steven. I like the Giants. I think they had a good run. And I think they still play well Saturday night, honestly. This is one of my favorite matchups of the weekend. And with this, man, I got to go with Jalen Hurts. With me being an Alabama fan and my firstborn son being named Jalen after Jalen Hurts, I mean, I gotta go with that team, man. And so I think that I think honestly, what it comes down to, what the key factor of that matchup is going to be, Steven, is going to be the Philadelphia defense. I think that Daniel Jones is going to be the deciding factor against that D, and I think he's going to make a mistake kind of later in the game, and it's going to cost them. And so I'm going Eagles.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And I'm going Eagles too. I'm on the Eagles train here. I think they win it, but I do think the Giants are good enough to keep this thing close.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. You know, probably the marquee matchup of the week, I would think.
Yep.
You got the Bengals and the Bills, and we all know what happened. You know, a few weeks ago now, on the Monday night game with the Bills and the Bengals, it didn't get played. The DeMar Hamlin situation, which seems to be, you know, all great news from now to then, or from then now. It looks like that DeMar is going to make a complete full recovery, and I think he was actually at the Bills game this past week in the stadium. So. Look, that's great news and all that. But back to football. Bills and Bengals. Man, Bills minus -5. And, BJ, I don't know who I'm picking, so I'm going to let you go first here.
I don't want to always go with the team that's favored, to be completely honest with you. But I think Buffalo pulls it out just from an emotional standpoint. I think they got something riding on this game. I think with it, they have a reason to play. You know what I mean? And I understand, like, you took the playoffs out of it. Just the fact that, I mean, DeMar Hamlin did get injured during this game last time. This is kind of like the game that everybody wishes would have happened but never did. And so now you have this prime matchup. Everybody's going to be tuned in. And I think that, man, the Bengals offense, as much as I love it and as much as I enjoy watching it and stuff, I see moments of struggle. You know, I see moments of Joe Burrow not being able to have time in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And with it, man, I think Buffalo's defense can hold their own. And so I think Josh Allen pulls it out. I'm hoping for a shootout. I'm hoping for a high over under. And I think what happens here is that Buffalo squeezes it out.
Yeah, I'm with you, BJ. I don't like just going chalk and taking the favorites here, but in the same boat, I'm in the same boat that you're in here as where you said the Bills are going to be on another level emotionally because of everything that happened the last time they lined up against the Bengals. They're going to be at home. I do think they're the better team. I do agree with you that Joe Burrow does look flustered in the pocket at times. I think last year, and I'm not saying that they can't become better, but I think last year the Bengals just got hot at the right time. I still don't think like they were the best team even last year, but they got hot at the right time. And I think it comes to an end for Joe Burrow and company this week in Buffalo. Give me Buffalo over the Bengals. And our last matchup here, Dallas Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers. The line, -3.5, San Francisco 49ers. BJ, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm Team Dak right here. I'm Team Dak Prescott. I'm Team Dallas Cowboys. I think they're playing phenomenal. I think the San Francisco 49ers are playing phenomenal. I think both defenses are playing phenomenal. You got San Francisco and Bosa on one side. You got the Cowboys and Parsons on the other side. I think that this game is going to be a really, really good game. You got Dak Prescott. You got Brock Purdy. You got CeeDee Lamb. You got, you know, Deebo Samuel. You got all kind of weapons offensively. You got all kind of weapons and special players defensively. But at the end of the day, man, I think that this Dallas Cowboys team has kind of found themselves an identity. And that identity is, like I told you guys earlier, that identity is Dak Prescott. And I'm going to go with the upset here, Dallas Cowboys.
Ah, Steven, I don't know, man. I guess I wish I would have actually thought about this before the podcast. That would have probably made me feel a lot better. I think I'm going to differ with you, man. I think I'm going to go 49ers. And I don't want to because I really want to hate on Brock Purdy and just because I'm a Trey Lance truther. But at the end of the day, man, I think that offense just has too many weapons, dude. And just like what you said, the Cowboys' defense is killing it. They shut down Tom Brady. He could not get a pass off. I saw multiple passes that went through his receiver's hands, and the defense was just doing fantastic. But that 49ers defense ain't one to play with either. And we're going to look at a line here in a little bit, Steven, about like Zeke's rushing numbers and stuff like that. But I think at the end of the day, man, when you have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield on the other side, I think he is going to be phenomenal. And so with it, I think this is actually going to be one of the closest matchups of the weekend. And I think it's going to come down to the very, very tail end. I would love to see this game go into overtime, if I'm honest with you. But I think the 49ers barely squeak it out. And I would not be upset if the Cowboys won, in complete honesty. But I just, I don't know, man. I got vibes of a self-imploded team for the Cowboys, and I don't want to put that on them. So,
yeah, we all can't be right, right, BJ?
That's all right, man. We got to differ at some point, Steven.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you're just going to have to be wrong here because the Cowboys.
That's fine. I'm cool with
it. They're going to go in there and they're going to win that game. Dak's going to have another great performance. He's really going to cement his stay right there in Dallas, and that they made the right decision is choosing him as their franchise quarterback.
Hey man, I would love to see a Dak versus Jalen conference title game.
That'd be a great game. All right, moving on. Let's talk about underdog for a minute. Let's recap this past week, BJ. I don't know about you, but you know, if you're missing if you're not listening to us on these underdogs, what are you doing with your life? You know, Justin Herbert this week, my first pick under 282.5 passing yards. I hit it easily with Herbert only having 273 passing yards. Never mind the fact that he almost got the ball back down in that game if the Jaguars wouldn't have got a first down. So, look, he hit it, 273. That's what we're looking for.
That's all that matters.
Hey, that's right. He got the under, and we're good to go. My first recap pick last week, a hit, Justin Herbert under 282 passing yards.
Absolutely, man. And then after that, you had Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker for me, over 61.5 rushing yards. I hit it. You know what? I hit it by a landslide. He had 63 rushing yards. So look, and it was late too, BJ. Like it was late.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was getting late. They were down, and then all of a sudden they decided to run it. I think he hit it for a 6-yard run, and he popped it. And I was like, yes, let's go. It was nice to have that hit. So my second underdog pick of the week, Kenneth Walker, over 61.5 rushing yards, was a hit. My third here, Leonard Fournette, I picked him under 36.5 early in the week. That man, and it just showed. It showed what the Bucs were about. They've got Rashad White back there running it. That's their runner. Fournette was kind of in the passing game a little bit. But Fournette's days are over in Tampa Bay. I think he's done there. And we saw Brady threw the ball. BJ, we didn't talk about this, but Brady threw the ball 66 times this past week. 66 passing attempts. Therefore, as you can imagine, that led to Leonard Fournette only rushing for 11 yards. So that was also a hit for me. I was 3 for 3 this week in my underdog picks. BJ, moving on to you. You had Justin Herbert under 7.5 rushing yards. You missed this. Herbert actually had 12 rushing yards on the day. Your second pick, Saquon Barkley, over a half touchdown, rushing touchdown, hit it with two rushing touchdowns. So good call there. And then Joey Burrow, you had him under 11.5 rushing yards as a hit with 9 rushing yards. So BJ, overall, all in all, I was 3 for 3. You were 2 for 3. Together, we're 5 for 6. That's not bad. That's not bad at all on our underdog picks. BJ, let's go this week. Let's keep it rolling. Let's stay hot this week. I'm gonna let you lead it off here, BJ.
All right, man. So I'm going one of my favorite wide receivers right now in the NFL. Somebody I think who was desperately underrated going into the season, and honestly, I traded for him in Week 12 right before he turned up. So. Devontae Smith going up against a matchup against the New York Giants this week. His stat line is 63.5 receiving yards, and I am smashing the over. The reason being is, Steven, the last time that he missed this line was back in week 12 against the Green Bay Packers. Man, just here lately, he has been killing it. He has been getting a lot of long targets. His yards per target here lately has been all the way up to the higher eights, 9 yards per target. And honestly, he's been seeing 8 targets per game since week 9. And so with it, I think this is going to be a fantastic game. I think that Devontae Smith is going to be key to this offense, key to this win. And so I'm smashing the over on this line.
Man, I'm okay with it. Like, there's a small group of people who think that Devontae Smith is greater than AJ Brown, and I don't know that I'm completely there, but I'm not real far away from that. Devontae Smith is a monster out there, a route runner, a ball, a hands-on receiver, a ball snatcher out of the air. I love him, and I think he's a great player, and I like this line over 63.5 receiving yards. My first line here, my boy, Ezekiel Elliott, we just talked about. The run game is over in Dallas. Therefore, this is going to lead you to go, what are you doing? Zeke, over 37.5 rushing yards. Look, I know, I just said it. The run game's over. But, guys, it's 37.5 rushing yards. It's 37 yards. And I know he has not hit it over the past 2 or 3 weeks. I get it. But as I was talking to BJ earlier about this, I do think for Dallas to win this game, they're going to have a little bit more balance in their attack. They can't just completely rely on Dak. And Zeke is more than capable of rushing for a measly 37.5 rushing yards. So this week, give me the over, 37.5 rushing yards, Ezekiel Elliott.
Man, I don't mind that a bit, Steven. My second one, just kind of rolling through this. We got Trevor Lawrence against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I am going with the over 1.5 passing touchdowns. I know that he isn't really known for his passing touchdowns games in the season, as he's only went over 1.5 passing touchdowns maybe a handful of times. But he just came off of a 4-touchdown performance against the Chargers, Steven. And so Trevor Lawrence is slinging it. They know that they had to put that game in his hands for to win the game, honestly, to even lead that comeback. And I think, honestly, he's going to have to play to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. And so I can see them getting down in this game, playing from a negative game script. And in doing so, I think they're going to have to turn the ball and just say, Trevor, do with it what you want, man. And so with that, I think he can have 2 passing touchdowns pretty easily. And so I'm going with the over of this as well.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I think you're right. It could become a shootout. It could become so far, you know, the fact that Trevor Lawrence and company could be down. So far, I definitely don't see them getting ahead and them running the ball. I mean, that's not part of the equation here. So Trevor Lawrence over 1.5, I'm in on it. All right, Burrow for me, Joey Burrow under 273.5 passing yards in Buffalo. I think this might become a little defensive struggle a little bit. I think, you know, again, I think for Joe Burrow and company to win this game, I think they're going to have to control the ball a little bit. They're going to have to keep it away from Josh Allen, and that means running the ball a little bit more. That means eating some clock. That means the clock's going to take away from some time for Joey Burrow to throw. The only thing about this line is if Joe Burrow and company are down late, he could hit this line. And that's the only way I see him hitting this line is if they're down late. He might spoil it with some trash yards late. But as of now, I'm going Joe Burrow under 273.5 passing yards.
Yeah, but I think it really comes down to the game if it ends up being a high shooting affair or whatnot. And also, to be honest with you, Steve, me and you talked, I think I could see him having multiple touchdowns and low yardage. And so we'll kind of see how it plays out, man. My last one, I'm going with Old Reliable. This is one that I've hit on 3 times this season. And honestly, Underdog just keeps putting it out there. So let me just start off by saying this. If the New York Giants want to even stay close in this game this weekend, they have to let Saquon Barkley eat. Get that man towards the end zone. Let him fall in. So, once again, I am going with over 0.5 rushing plus receiving touchdown for Saquon Barkley. He has to score a touchdown, whether receiving or rushing. And I've chosen, this will be my 4th time choosing this line, Steven, and I would love to go 4 for 4 with it. And so, the only hesitation that I have is, Steven, guess how many receiving touchdowns Saquon has on the year?
How many?
0. But the man seems to have so many rushing touchdowns. Would not surprise me if he was one of the league leaders in rushing touchdowns. So with this, I know they're playing against Philadelphia. I get that. But at the end of the day, man, I think if the Giants do want to keep this thing close, when they get in the red zone, they got to give Saquon the ball. Let their main guy eat. Last week, Saquon actually wore LeBron James cleats. Cleats that honored LeBron James in his number one signature shoe that came out when he played with the Cavaliers. And just how LeBron led the Cavaliers to that semi or the conference championship or whatever it was. In the same way, Saquon's about to lead this group of scrubs to the to this game, and he's going to carry it on their back and score a touchdown.
Yeah, man, I don't hate it at all. And look, the plus receiving is just it's just a bonus. Like it just gives you another out. You know, I mean, you're really banking on the rushing touchdown, just one. But man, just to have that plus receiving in there, it just gives you another out for a touchdown, even though he hadn't had one all year. You know, it's possible that he can catch a receiving touchdown, so it just gives you an out. And I like it. I thought, you know, 4 for 4 is definitely in your future on this. My last pick here for underdog, Devin Singletary, under 44.5 rushing yards. Look, they have turned this backfield into kind of a committee. And yep. James Cook is eating into this workload for Singletary. And he has looked good doing it. I know early in the year, BJ, when we was talking about dynasty rankings and James Cook and where he should have been drafted – he still shouldn't have been drafted in the first round. But let me say this. He has played way more than I thought he would this year in rookie season. So, look, I think this thing's turned into a committee by backfield. I don't think they're going to be rushing the ball for just a whole lot of yardage, especially with Singletary. So, give me Singletary under 44.5 rushing yards.
Hey, man, anytime that you have a committee backfield going with the under on those rushing yards is not a bad sign at all.
Yeah.
So, man, we want to take this time. I hope that you guys listen to our underdog segment. Man, make these picks and whatnot. Hopefully you can win you a little bit of money. And maybe we're right this weekend. We'll see what happens. But we want to take this time and just thank our listeners, man. Thank y'all each and every week for just plugging in, listen to our podcast, just listening to two guys talk about some dynasty football. You can follow us over on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow myself at AfroDynamics116 and Steven at SDeaton24. Make sure you check out our friends over at Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast as well. Listen to what they're doing. Check out their NBA news notes segment as well as some fantasy basketball takes as well. Steven, I'm going to pass it over to you for some final fantasy advice, man.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, the final fantasy advice this week is, man, I know these dynasty leagues are kind of finished up. They should be all finished up, I think, and you might be in some playoff-type formats and whatnot for some fantasy football purposes and trying to win a little playoff money. But, man, my advice to you is to go put some offers out, just offers in your league. Don't be stagnant. I know we all need a little break from our lineups, from the daily grind of the in-season grind. But, man, go make some offers just in every league. Every league you're in, go make one offer. I implore you to do that just to see what you can do, just to see what offer you might can make, and you never know. If you're in multiple leagues and you only get, you know, one bite on something, that might turn into a trade for you. So go make one offer in every league you have and don't spend a lot of time away from your leagues. And, man, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm talking to myself here too. I need to be more diligent in my leagues and a little more active, especially in this time of year. So I'm going to go out this week, and I'm going to make one trade offer in every one of my leagues.
Steven, I better not see no trash trade offer from you, bro. I'm just joking. Well, guys, man, y'all enjoy divisional weekend this weekend. I hope that y'all can watch some matchups. Hopefully you see Trevor Lawrence pull up an upset. Who knows? Yeah. But, man, just enjoy the time. Enjoy the off season. Like Steven said, send y'all some trade requests, man. See what's out there.